So if it makes you feel any better, I'm not preaching. Thought I'd mention that. Okay. Make sure that one's there. I'll teach you just a second here. There it is. I couldn't find it for a second. There it is. Love. That's our topic of discussion today. Now, you know what a class or a study is called when you don't when the audience doesn't participate? A lectureship. Who showed up for a lectureship this morning? Barbie, don't count. Let me raise your hand. It's not a lectureship. Please don't make it a lectureship. I got lots of stuff in here I don't want to have to cover. Love. What comes to mind when that word appears? God. Caring. Family. Spouse or what? Mate. Children. If you watch my Facebook post, it has to do with my dog. Kind of like my dog. Enemies. Yes. All that's true, right? How would you just... So those are the thoughts that come to mind. How would you express or put into words in 500 words or less, or any more than less than that? How would you describe love? As a feeling?
Selfish.
As a word. Okay. I mean, it must not be just my eyesight that's going, so turn your volume up just a bit so I can hear you. What was that? Warm fuzzy. Well, hey, there's something to be said for that, right? Right? I don't know. I'm sure there's some adults that they'd admit it.
Compassion.
Hugs.
Loving others more than yourself.
Loving others more than yourself. An action, right? Because it would be, it's kind of like talk about our faith, right? And talk about we're not saved by works, but you see our faith by our works, right? So do you really love somebody? Do you really have love if you don't do anything with it? You know? It's like the folks that I kind of get tickled with that sit at the house, and I love God, I have faith, and whatever statement they want to make, but they don't darken the door of a building. Not that you got to go to a building. The point being, they don't assemble. By the way they live, you certainly wouldn't have gotten that impression by them. So what if you said you loved someone? Now, let's not get off on a tangent here. There's plenty of TV shows and books written about folks saying they love someone or something and not ever expressing it or showing it. Right? I'm sure there's a few males and maybe a few females in here that could get in trouble for, you know, I don't see it. You don't show me. You know, when last time you did this or that? Right? We want some action out of love. So that being the case, is that statement true? Do you truly believe that you have a choice on who or what you love? you know, there's plenty of examples society gives us. Well, I don't have a choice of who I love. Or I didn't choose to love this person. And sometimes that's said innocently enough. We might find a mate that might not have been our first choice by some of the parameters that we set for ourselves. But we find ourselves attracted to this person, or the relationship grows, and we might say, it just happened, or I didn't really have a choice, it's just what I'm drawn to them, right? But at the end of the day, we do. We might get that warm fuzzy about someone, right? And it's love. Well, warm fuzzies cool, don't they? You know? So what turned out in the beginning maybe not feeling like a choice for too long becomes a choice. Now you've got to decide how you, a lot of times we call that the honeymoon period, right? About any of things. There's a honeymoon period for a lot of things. What about folks that come out of that water? For a honeymoon period? Yeah, there is. And unfortunately, all too many times, it doesn't make to the 7-year itch spot, does it? Well, so it's funny you mentioned that.
I should say the thankful. I love her.
So
it has grown.
So that's a fine example, right? Dazine and I were talking.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And I'm sure she loves you in spite of so many things. But you know, not to detour too far, but Dean and I were talking the other day about that. And I asked you to try to put it into words, and sometimes that's hard. This is May. Yeah. So this month, we'll be married 29 years. Approaching 30 years. Lord have mercy, the time's gone, right? But in some ways, it's forever. Because I don't remember life really without her. And on the other hand, it's like, where'd the time go? And I was trying to we've been accused for years that we talk about everything. There's nothing we don't talk about. And I'm sure she feels sometimes that I ramble. I don't talk to anybody hard at work all day. So I'm probably one of these spouses that come home and get some of my words out, right? Because I ain't talked to anybody all day. But I was telling her that I don't know how... I said I was going to stop and buy you something because you were on my mind and I wanted to show you I love you. And I stopped and I walked around the store and I left empty-handed. Any thoughts why? I don't know what you two are doing, but I'm not sure I want to know. Or is Lance called?
No.
Lance called me?
Tell me what he said. He just goes to the dollar store. I said, he went to the dollar store.
Wow. I did. Maybe not from the eldership, but... No, so what Shirley said was as close to the point as could be. When you start thinking about trying to put your love into words, that's hard enough. But then to pick up an object and it say, I love you, I just walked away saying, yeah, it's just not going to work. I just, you know. Agreed. Because there's a lot of folks that don't, right? But I was trying to tell her that I was thinking about her. When I got home, I told her the story. And I said, I felt bad because I couldn't figure it out. When we met 30-some-odd years ago, it was easy to find something. It would be a flower or a card. But my love has changed over the years. More so. You don't believe when the warm fuzzies start that it can get any better. It's different, right? It changes.
Matures.
Well, it okay, that's fine. But it still changes, right? It's a much different love than it was back then. It does. And so, since this is church, and since we're in this setting, we're compelled to come back to what's the point this morning, right? It's twofold that I want to communicate. One, it's between here and there, right? But it's also here. So, love is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. Just might get the impression it's kind of impotent, right? Well, it's going to be a long day if this doesn't work. And I do bring spare batteries. I are prepared. But that's still concerning. Okay, maybe it's the mode on my thing is in. We'll see. No, that's not working at all. It worked a second ago, didn't it? I touched it and it worked. Okay, old-fashioned way. Bill would have a ball with this, wouldn't he? All right. So depending on the version that you have, love is mentioned a bunch. And I say depending on which version you have, because one of the most popular versions that we have in use today, love is translated charity. Particularly in the King James Version. So much, like the text that I read this morning, if you're following along in the King James Version, you got charity as all those things, right? And there's a whole long study on why love and charity intermingles, but let's not do that right now. So, there's over 500 times love's in the Bible. Hell's only 13 in the New Testament. I sure spent a lot of time on that one, don't we? About faith, 246. Now again, don't go counting words. These are the different translations. Father, 374. Before I go any farther, see any correlation in those terms and those numbers? So my thoughts is, and I think the next one is prayed, so let's go ahead and do some more of these. So let's look at how many, there it is. So let's look at those numbers. My thoughts when I saw these numbers, that it kind of hit me, there is an incredible relationship between love, faith, Father, and heaven. Because you take love out of those other ones, and how far is it getting you? I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of faith if you don't have any love. I don't think you're going to see God as a father in the relationship that he strives to have with us if you got no love. And I don't think I'd be trying to get into heaven if you didn't have any love. I don't think it's going to work out well for you. I think there's going to be a lot of surprised folks that get to heaven and realize how much emphasis God put on love. We like rules. We like laws. We like order. We like guidelines. We like structure, right? We sure seems a lot of times to forget that there's a lot of scripture that says above all else,
love.
So real quick, because there's not that you haven't ever seen these, but to carry on our conversation, we know there's at least four types of love, right? Actually, when I got studying this, I guess typically we talk about three. But I wanted to bring the fourth one in for a reason that you'll see. And then I realized that in a lot of studies, there's actually more than that. There's at least seven. But then that got off in the weeds, and that was complicated. So we know all of agape love, right? And I even see businesses now that's got agape this, agape that. There's one in Mesquite that's home health care or something that's agape. Okay. So what's agape? Love is revealed in Jesus, seen as spiritual and selfless, and a model for humanity in the King James Version of the Testament. The agape is translated charity, as we talked about. And it says it has a contemporary connotation of giving to meet the needs of the less fortunate. Yeah, I think that's fair. The essence of agape love is, I think Danny mentioned, self-sacrifice. Willing to give of ourselves, right? I thought this was rather interesting. A journalist of Time magazine has described John 3:16 as one of the most famous and well-known Bible verses. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell because it's considered a summary of the central doctrines of Christianity. I believe that's true. I believe if we believe what John 3:16 and 17 says, and we put that to use in our life, that's what makes a Christian, without a doubt. Because I don't think you're going to be able to call yourself a Christian or be seen one in the eyes of God without it. So, phileo love refers to brotherly love and most often exhibited in a close relationship. It is friendly love based on feelings or emotions. We could describe it as a tender affection, delighting to be in the presence of someone, or a warm, good feeling towards someone that may come and go with intensity. We all know that, right? Whether it be the new love of our life or maybe an old friend or something. There's some people in our lives that when we see them, there's just something about us kind of brightens up, right? I mean, there's those little grumpy folks that we turn and shy away from. But there's the good folks too, right? That when we see them, we don't know what it is about them sometimes, but they just make us feel good. So my thoughts were David and Jonathan, two very good friends, you know, willing to give their life for each other. Then I thought, what about the man in Mark 2:4 and some of the other gospel accounts? About the fellas that lowered their buddy to the hole in the roof to see Jesus. Do you think that's love? I don't know that I've ever heard it really discussed in that manner. But that's some good friends. You know? You think about it, that's work. Who wants to lower Roy through the hole in the roof? Any volunteers? Someone go up there with some ropes to lower him down? I'll lower you down. Getting you up might be a problem, buddy. So that's who you know who loves you is who they pick to hold the rope? So there's always Eros love, the romantic sexual love. It's the Greek god of love, the son of Aphrodite, his counterpart Cupid. I thought this was interesting. I don't guess I ever knew this, that Aphrodite and Cupid use their, I guess it's actual Eros was the actual person as I read later, not Aphrodite. But as the mythology goes, they used arrows, both of them did, to spark or ignite that interest in love in people. So that's where we get the Cupid and his arrow, right? Think David and Bathsheba. I don't think there's any doubts what was going on in there. Storge love. This is the fourth one. Am I saying that right, Roy? Storge. Well, I looked it up and it had the long dash over it for E, so depending on where you get your translation, I guess. I couldn't find that audible thing where it tells you how to pronounce it. I looked for it. And the definitions I found was a parental affection, instinctive affection which animals have to their young. Now, I saw a Facebook post the other day talking about you sitting at your table and telling the kid to put their phone down so you could eat, and they roll their eyes at you. And he suddenly understood the desire of animals to eat their young. That's the opposite of this, but I could relate. So this sort of love or affection is a wide-ranging force which can apply to family members, friends, pets and owners, companions or colleagues. It can also blend with and help underpin other types, such as passion, love, or friendship. We apparently have different family and different dogs. Not to fight with you in class, but yeah. There's a bunch of us that disagree with that. That was going to love you back.
To me, that has nothing to do with biblically. I'm sorry.
We're just talking about types of love. Agreed. I understand. And there's a lot of folks that have me put the Abraham Isaac thing back. It's that dual purpose kind of thing. I mean, that Abraham and Isaac, to me, could go in both directions, and I had an example for the other one. So. Sorry? Yes. Yes. Agreed. So, make Linda happy. Back on the Bible stuff. God's love for us. We typically read John 3:16 and I think stop there too much. And it's important to read and understand that. And I have it up here for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So then put a dash why. And the why is the first couple of words in the two verses we read. But it comes back to the creation and our whole purpose for being on this planet and existing at all, right? Why are we here? But he put his choice. Right? My second slide, it's a choice. He put us here to serve and love him, right? So, from the very beginning, the very fact he created us, he loved something that wasn't here yet, and he created something to love and wanted us to love him in return, right? I don't. If you don't feel God loves you now, I'm thinking something's wrong. That's how we're going to spend our eternity. He's going to show his eternal love for us, right? Justine.
The Bible tells us God is love, and out of that does produce what we're talking about right now is creating man because companionship, because of love, or whatever the reason God's mind works. But obviously, when you love somebody enough, and what love represents, you've gone through very well, is
Agreed. So the next one I don't think we associate, I don't hear as much, is in 1 John. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. To me, that's a lot more long-winded statement than John 3:16, but it's a lot more detailed. God loved us before he made us. But him being perfect and all knowledgeable, he knew that he was going to give us the ability to make our own decisions. He knew not everyone, or he knew that we weren't going to be able to be perfect, right? And so even though he does show his love for us, and he wants to do that while we're here on earth, even before we set foot on here, he had a plan to save us in the end, to love us, as you're talking about heaven, for eternity. Right? So he created us, he wanted to be companions, he wanted someone to love and to love him back. But he knew that he wanted to give us free will. And we do that, we were going to choose to sin. But he didn't want to lose us. So what did he do? He created a means that we could be saved, and he could still have us and love us for eternity. And it goes on to say, in the scriptures say, how can you love God and not someone you've not seen, and hate your fellow man who you have seen? And he's telling us right here that you can't do it. You're going to tell me you love God, you got to love your fellow man. You can't tell me that you hate your fellow man and love God. You believe the inspired scriptures and said you can't do it. So, I'm going to read through some of these. I've got a bunch, but it won't take too long. So, some familiar verses I picked out. Luke 6:31. And as you wish that others do to you, do so to them. What do we know that as? What society know that as? The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you want done unto you. A little farther down, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Now, you think that's really talking about money? Then it's only talking about money? We tend to think about lend being money. But in our normal conversation, we also have a term called lending a hand, right? So, to me, this very much means you're going to be nice and help folks, be it monetarily or with your physical efforts, not expecting them to do something for you, but what we call is the goodness of your heart, right? So it says, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is the kind to the ungrateful and the evil. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. We have a really hard time with that, don't we? Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We can't go through all of these in detail, but that's important, right? Because we surely want him to be merciful to us. Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself is no greater commandment than these. Agreed? Yeah? 1 Corinthians 13:3, I read that earlier. So now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Really? Without love, the other two are irrelevant, aren't they? Where's the hope? Where's the faith if there is no love? Well, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So again, the wife and I discussing this, and we come up with several scenarios about what the last part of that means. But I still think, from a Christian perspective, that we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to understand this is an important topic that we didn't do enough of. John 15:13, greater hath love no man than this, than someone to lay down his life for his friends. We're blessed in the United States not to really worry about that, right? There was a time in history, and there still is around the world today, that we don't really face this. Now, our first responders and our soldiers certainly understand when they take the oath to serve, that's always a possibility. But I don't really believe that every one of them gets up every morning putting their uniform on and said, I could die today. I could very well lay down my life for someone else today. Well, that's true. And everything is a metaphor for back to our love for God, right? Because it comes back to the idea that you may not lay down your life for your friend, but you very well could be in a situation that you represent God and have the opportunity to show the love of Christ, and you blow it. And it might be because you didn't get up this morning thinking, I am a Christian, I have a God that I love, who loves me, and it is my duty and honor today to serve him. And that needs to be on my mind, or it just might blow by. Ephesians 2:5-25, husband loves your wives, and Christ loved the church and gave himself for. I think we could, there's years of therapy sessions that exist because of that one. But we do find that interesting, do we not? Is not one of the things that you hear the most in our society now is domestic violence? I mean, our own Dallas City Council and mayor, they've made this a huge issue. Why? Is there that many men that can't read? Sadly enough, there's plenty of this issue in the church, is there not? We're not immune to it. Well, and it could. And I'm leaning one-sided, right? But as much as I said a minute ago about us getting to heaven and understanding that there's a lot behind this idea of loving one another, I think there's a lot of spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, is going to get to heaven, and that ain't going to be pretty. As Christ loved the church, that's a high bar then, isn't it? I think next time you raise your voice or think about your hand, you might ought to remember that, right? Not that you should do it anyway, but if you're living your life for Christ, there's a big charge there, isn't there? So I had to throw an Old Testament in there. And because it kind of relates back to one of the top ones about Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And again, I think we could discuss a lot of things. But the thing that came to mind for me in this one was more of a humanly man-to-man, person-to-person kind of thing, that you enter in a conversation or a relationship, not relationship, you already know somebody, and you go to them upset and angry. What do you get in return? Upset and angry. But how many of us know that it's true, more times than not, that no matter what the hostile relationship is, if you go with your hat in your hand, with a humble heart, what happens? It's kind of hard to be mad at that person, isn't it? So, I think, moving on. What time is it? You can read John 4:7-21 later. We're almost out of time. I want to cover some of this. There's no buts in I love you. I thought that was cute. So Luke 10:17. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test and say, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said, "You said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he desired to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? Now, we know the rest of the story, right? This starts off the Good Samaritan. But who is my neighbor? He lets him know real quick that if they walk and talk and live and breathe, they'd be your brother. Right? So, it's going to make some of these kind of hard. Christians are to love, and that's a bad color, isn't it? Christians are to love no buts. Now I got some rough buts for you. What about those that openly sin? We prayed the last couple of weeks about our Supreme Court and the decisions they're going to make. We don't believe some things are correct. Brings up the term that many believe is scriptural, and it's a scriptural idea. The words aren't found in Scripture. Anybody follow me? You read my mind? What am I talking about? No, I mean the phrase that we tend to spout. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Right? We're supposed to separate those two? To a degree. I honestly believe to a very large degree. There is someone I know that was very good friends with a man. But he knew this other person's heart well enough to know that whenever he was going to come out as homosexual, he went to this co-worker's home, did not address them at the office, went to their home to tell them because they were afraid of the reaction this person was going to have despite this person waves the Christian flag at the office all the time. And this man was right. You know, that person told him that they were no longer welcome in their house and he would no longer even speak to them. And this was recently. Sorry, I have a hard time with that. I do not believe that's... I'm very close friends with a man at work that's homosexual. We are very good friends. He knows where I stand. We joke about some of the things. We even talk about from a religious perspective, and I know how he justifies it. We talk about it enough. But we're friends. You know, I don't have to be ugly. I don't have to be rude to him. Well, that's right. And my idea, well, not only that we should be nice, but that I'm not going to be a very good example if I'm mean and hateful and turn him off, right? So there's some more times that we got to go. So just keep in mind, those that don't believe as we do, we have a rough time with that sometimes, right? Those that are trying to but just can't seem to get it there, we lose our patience. Didn't it say love is patient? Those that are new to the faith, again, sometimes we lose patience that they should just change overnight. As Bill said the other day, some do, most don't. We need to understand it and love them through it. The person right here in the room, parting thoughts. Kind of hard to say we love our God and we're big family, lovey-dovey, and we don't speak to each other and we walk out of here with some tiny grudge on our shoulder. And we're Christian brothers and sisters, right? If we can't be happy with the fellow in the pew next to you, I'm thinking your relationship with God might need a little extra work, investigation. So, you go home, you leave here, we love each other, right? In spite of our faults. No buts. Thank you.